New laws going into effect in 2021. Could they affect your wallet? We're going to talk about it on the show coming up today.
From the streets of San Antonio straight to your wallet, it's Jake's 2 cents on Jake of All Trades.
All right, welcome back. My name is Kurt, and I'm not a financial expert.
And I'm Jake Rivas. I am the financial expert, but together, Kirk and I talk about financial planning topics, the economy, and we review articles, all with the express purpose of helping our listeners build wealth both today and into the future.
And today we're going to talk about, as specifically as possible, your wallet and what can be affecting it, but also how these laws that were already passed can affect your wallet, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So these are coming into effect laws.
Right. So some of them became effective January 1st of 2021. Some of them go into effect in February. But these are laws that they've already been passed. And so now they're going to be implemented. Some of them, meh, it might not matter to you. But some of them I did find interesting because I didn't even know about some of this. So kind of informative. Yeah.
Well, it seemed like some of them had to do with 401ks and
yeah. So the first section of the laws that go into effect is let's go back. When you have a 401k or any type of a retirement account, IRA, whatever, the IRS limits how much you can put into that account every year. Mm-hmm. They have their own set of standard limits. And part of the process every year is that they adjust those limits, usually to account for inflation. So they'll, you know, give you an extra $500 on the limit, so you can put a little bit more in the following year. Actually, though, in 2021, the limits did not change for retirement accounts. So the contribution limits are actually the same. But what did change was how much of your income can be calculated to qualify for the maximum contribution by your employer and yourself. So not only does the IRS set how much you can put in as an individual, but they also tell your employer how much they can put in on your behalf into the 401k. Because some employers will do that as a benefit to their employees. They'll put, you know, matching contributions into their account, or they'll make a profit sharing contribution. But there's an overall limit to those as well.
Why would there be a limit, though? I don't understand why that would be a bad thing.
Because the employer gets tax benefits to doing that.
Oh, so they could do that in lieu of a raise?
Right.
So I'll match you for this much. You put it in there, but I'm not going to give you a 5% raise or anything like that.
Yeah. And then the company gets to deduct on their business taxes money put into there. So they don't want to be able to say, like, if I have an executive that I pay, you know, $1 million a year, and he decides to only draw a salary of $100,000 and put, you know,
$900,000.
Yeah, because he makes $1 million.
Oh, because you're saying 100,000. I was thinking $1.
I usually do stuff with a calculator, even though I work in numbers. I don't know.
We want to be precise. No, it was just because I was thinking I've heard of CEOs taking out $1. The $100,000 I messed up. That was my fault too.
Gotcha.
So I think I confused you. So it's I take out $1 a year salary.
But then you put in $999,000 into my retirement account.
Yeah.
And then I don't have to pay taxes on it because it went in there and you get a tax deduction. That's why they set those limits.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So that doesn't change, is what you're saying? Which it normally does.
Usually both of those change. So both the individual limit and the overall limit change. And for 2021, though, only the overall limit changed as far as it applies to the employer. So now the employer has a slightly higher allocation they can put in if they happen to make contributions like that into your account. But you, as the employee, can still only put in the same amount that you could last year.
So what I, as the employee, can put in is the same. What my employer can match has gone up.
can go up. Yeah. Now they can choose to put it in or not, but that, that limit has increased.
But they can, if they wanted to increase it, they could. So go talk to your employers and tell them to increase it.
Tell them, hey, I heard this on the Jack of All Trades show, and I want to know why we're not doing it.
Exactly. Yep. Max me out, baby.
Okay.
Or give me a big old raise.
So, yeah. So the next one is, we could go on a real long tangent with this because it has to do with Social Security. But at the moment, so Social Security, if you don't know this, now you know, every employee, if you make money in the United States, you have to pay a Social Security tax, whether you're an employee or you're self-employed. And so if you're self-employed, it's twice the amount because you have to make a contribution to Social Security on behalf of yourself and the employer portion. So everybody is supposed to make contributions to Social Security through taxes, but the government sets a limit on how much income you is subject to the Social Security tax. So that limit used to be about $137,000. So for the first $137,000 of income that you made, you had to pay a Social Security tax on that.
Ever?
Income. No, every year.
The first $137,000.
Correct.
Okay, so this only affects people who make over $137,000.
No, under. Because everybody who makes up to $137,000.
Oh, up to. I'm sorry.
Has to pay a Social Security tax.
I misheard you. Okay.
Social Security tax is, I should know this. So the Social Security tax at the moment is 6.2% up to income limits of about $137,000. So that was for 2020.
Okay.
Now for
6.2%.
6.2%. Yeah. And so anybody who gets a paycheck, if you have income coming in, you're being taxed and you can see it on your pay stub, a 6.2% Social Security tax. So that actually only applies to the first $137,000 of wages. Anything above that, they don't pay into the Social Security system at all outside of that $137,000. So that cap has been increased. They usually increase it every year anyway, adjust for inflation, et cetera, et cetera. So now that's bumped up to like 140,000 range.
Yeah.
So we still have that Social Security tax being applied on the first $140,000 or so of wages. And again, anybody who makes way above that, they're only paying Social Security on those, on that percentage of their wages.
Well, that does not affect me at all. But maybe some of you it does.
And the problem, right, is that we also have, and we've talked about on the show before, the Social Security system under its current funding parameters situation is set to run out of money in about 10 years, right?
So that's why they raised it, so they can get a little bit more money.
But they always raise it. But the reality is that if they would just eliminate that altogether, that provision where they cap incomes that's subject to this tax, right? That would fix the problem in and of itself, because then you have a well-funded Social Security system.
Do you think that would, are you sure about that? Math wise?
Sure. Okay. Sure. I mean, if think about
percentage. No, because this is wages. That's not like Elon Musk is not getting wages of $150 billion.
Right. But he has to pay Social Security tax on $137,000 of his income every year.
Yes. And if he didn't have that, how much would it be?
If he didn't have what?
If there was no cap, like you're saying, what would he pay 6% on?
6.2%. All of his income.
No, because you said wages.
No, taxable income. I'm sorry. I say wages because I'm thinking of as an employee.
Yeah.
If you're an employee, your wages are what you're paying Social Security tax on. But if you're an entrepreneur, any income you make, has to pay Social Security tax up to that $137,000.
And you think that that would cover the trillions of dollars that is out, that is going to be paid out over the next 40 years?
I do. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to send me an article with the math on that. I'd be very curious. I'm skeptical.
I mean, think about what a massive difference that would make. You go from collecting 6.2% of taxes on income up to $137,000, or you go to collecting 6.2% on all income regardless of the cap. There is no cap.
Yeah, but I don't know what that number of that of what income is. Like what?
Anything that you're making.
No, but how, what is that number?
What do you mean? It depends on the person who makes the income.
I know, but if you're saying that it's going to cover it, we have to know some element of how much is actually available for this out there. I mean, because it's not, you're not talking about like the like $15 trillion budget or the so-called GDP that we have, right?
Are you saying? No, because that's not, yeah, but that's, but like I'm talking about if you're an entrepreneur, which there are a lot of, or you're a high earning person, self-employed person that makes $2 or $3 million a year, which a lot of, there are quite a few of them in the United States. They're only paying Social Security tax.
No, I understand that. $137,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now it has to work out that way because there's so much income that's not being taxed.
Okay. So I'm sorry. You have to give me some math on that because you can't just say it has to work out like that. Because if it's like, you know, a couple, you know, some of these people with $3 million and you say 6%, but the number of how many people are going to be pulling out is going to be in the tens of trillions. I don't
see that.
Well, that
number doesn't change because that number,
I know, but I'm saying that's the numbers. It's, we're talking like when you, by the time you and I get there, it's going to be tens of trillions of dollars. I just want to see the math of how pulling out what you're talking about actually would be able to pay that off. Cause you, I don't think you could say, I don't think it's fair to say, oh, if you tax these people up for the, you know, for $3 million and you take 6.2%, that will pay for the number. Maybe it will, I don't know, but that is a huge, that's a huge number. Tens of, I mean, it's like tens of trillions of dollars or something like that, but of what we're going to owe. Now, I'm not saying it's not going to do more for it, that, you know, obviously if you did that, it would do more, but I just don't know that it would pay it. That's what I want to know more about, because my solution is more for
Social Security
is phasing it out. Yeah.
Right. And which is, that could be, so that's kind of the either or, right? At the moment, they are doing nothing really. They just are doing these incremental increases like we were talking about here, where they just kind of adjust it for inflation. So either you phase it out, right? Which to me kind of feels like the direction that we're going to be headed towards, because there's also this big, and we're kind of getting off topic, but there's this big shift and it, where, you know, we used to have employers that would provide pension plans for their employees, right? Where you didn't have to put money into a retirement account. They set up a retirement plan for you in the form of a pension. But now those became less and less affordable and they couldn't make that work. And so they put a lot of the burden onto the employee to start saving for their own, right? And so that to me tells me, all right, it doesn't seem likely that we're going to go the other direction where we start taxing more to fund a socialist program like Social Security, just because of the way we've already made decisions previously and how we've handled retirement funding by eliminating pensions almost entirely and putting more of the not, I don't want to say burden, because this is part of your obligation. If you're working and living and want to retire at some point, you got to save and accumulate for it. So I feel
like, but billionaires don't need that.
Well, right. They don't need that. But
they don't, and they're getting nothing out of it. They're just getting taxed for it. So it's an obligation imposed on them to take care of other people. But
yeah. Well, no, they get to, that's why it's so low, right? If you're a billionaire.
No, but I'm saying like if you, yeah, exactly. That's why it's low.
Raise it.
If, but I'm saying under the raising it, they would have to
raise it. Those billionaires would need an increased payout because they're not just going to fund at that same level.
Well, but see, that's the problem. So that's the problem with your thing. Would you get more? So anyway, yeah, what you're saying is there's like a, you know, so would a bit like, why would a billionaire need any Social Security? It doesn't make sense. Even if they're paying 6%, that's still crazy. So they're basically just paying into it to pay into it. Yeah. But anyway, so the thing you're talking about is like this, the question on either side, which is not, I don't think it's off topic because I think it's really important for people our age to think about is now, you know, Social Security was initiated in the 30s to help people plan for their retirement. As we've gone so wealthy that we can, you know, even with these crazy times that we live in, we're still doing fine financially, right? For a lot of us. I mean, it's hard for a lot of people, but overall, we're still like a $14, $15 trillion economy, uh-huh. right? We're still a wealthy nation.
Sure.
But yeah. it's now shifting to where it's like more your responsibility. And what you're saying with yeah. like pensions and being more difficult is it's leaning toward becoming more like that.
Correct.
Where more likely you, when you're 65, are going to have to deal with your own retirement, which is why you need a certified financial planner to help you get there, right?
And, that is true. Yeah.
And yeah, so it's like, yeah. it's, that's something to remember that that's likely where it's going. And this Social yeah. Security law is maybe an indication that of that, where they raised it a couple $1,000 to 40 in the early 40s, the max, but that's right. not going to solve any problems. That's just no. a temporary reprieve for basically the generation, the elderly, the baby yeah, boomers. Like,
pretty much the people collecting now or that are going to start collecting in about 5 or 10 years. That's really kind of
what is a huge number.
Yes, it is a huge number. These incremental increases, I think, are designed for that purpose. But I do think,
yeah,
like what you said, we are headed in the opposite direction. My point on the eliminating that cap was if you want to design a socialist system to work properly, well, if you eliminated that cap, it's going to work properly. But you're also going to have to reformat the entire program because those people need higher payouts. So you have a lot more resources.
Billionaires need higher payouts.
Yeah. They're going to want higher payouts.
Or even a person who makes three. Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's any payout that would make sense for them. I mean, what are you going to give them?
Yeah, I know.
And why that wouldn't make any sense because then it would also take away from the people, the vast majority who are going to actually need to live on it.
Need it.
So I don't think that, so yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'd like to see the numbers if you think it would actually work in terms of, even if we didn't, like if we said anybody over 150,000, if they made that over a certain amount of time, they don't get anything or something like that.
Right.
Even then would removing the cap, pay everything. Now it would definitely make it right. better in terms right. of paying it off. Because the whole right. problem is that the government hasn't been investing that money. They've been right. spending that money. So that's the issue is that me and you, when you see that Social Security, that's going directly into the pocket of an elderly person, essentially, or at least to right. some degree, because they're not taking that money and putting it in an investment account, which right. is what
it's
they should
like
do.
It's not like when you,
when I take out 6%,
put it into your 401k, it's there.
It's a pot of money for Kirk Barbera.
Correct.
When you put Social Security out, you know, when that's taken out of your check every day or every week or whatever, that's not put into a pot for Kirk Barbera mm-hmm. when he's 65. That's put to the government and then they do whatever crap they do with it. And then they try to, you know, eke out a little bit of money to these guys who have been paying into it since the 50s or whatever, or since the 70s, like my dad, or, you know, he got his first job in the late 60s, right? And so that's the idea is that, yeah. okay, you've been doing this since the 60s and you're now retiring. Here's some money that you paid into it. No, that's not how it works.
Right.
No. Because the other thing is that they're taking out more money than they put in because of inflation.
Correct.
You see this Correct. With Medicare too. Like yeah. they're spending four times what they put in.
Yeah.
That like yeah. that's not going to work.
It's not going to work.
And that's why it's like
and removing that is a the really important point that you toot my own yeah. horn why you need a certified
that's
financial
why I need a
planner
CFP.
Because yeah. we have this burden, especially as young people, you can't count on these systems anymore the way that other generations previously yeah. counted on them and the role they were going to play. So
happen.
We're very much more self-dependent, self-sufficient yeah. at
we
this
have
point.
To be. You got to yeah. think about your future.
Okay. Back to two more laws.
Yeah.
I think I missed the number, but is it five or six more states legalized marijuana, mm-hmm. recreational and medicinal use, and then they decriminalized other narcotics, so like hardcore stuff, small amounts of it. And so that's one step forward in kind of, you know, federal legalization. Yeah. of marijuana because there's more and more states adopting it. The problem though is that it's still not legal federally. So mm-hmm. you can't deposit those proceeds into banks. And that makes it difficult for the economy to get any good revenue off of that.
Yeah, and so it's also difficult to invest in this industry. Very.
You can buy. They do have some publicly traded securities now that are on the stock market exchange that you can buy, but you're investing in the securities of a corporation that generates some of their revenue from legal avenues of marijuana. So hemp, CBD products, those types of things. You can't really, I mean, we're not investing in straight up dispensaries. You can't do that yet because it's not legal federally. So, but you know, there's,
but it looks like we're on the way to that.
It does seem like we're
like hopefully, I mean, sooner the better.
Yeah.
They get rid of the drug war, which is de facto still in effect, which is crazy to me.
Yeah.
Just the amount of money it costs. That's another thing that affects your wallet is, you know, this is taxpayer money paying for violent crime, criminalization of it. And that takes, and this that's also just like the people, you know, the talent out there that could be using their efforts for non-drug selling, or they could still open up a dispensary or something, right?
Yeah.
I think that's something that would exist more often. So anyway,
sure.
I think that's a major thing that hopefully, so in 2021, we're in 5 states, they're decriminalizing it or legalizing marijuana.
Legalized it.
And they're decriminalizing hard drugs in other areas. And it looks like that's the trend that we're moving toward, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
In my opinion, you don't have to agree with
my opinion as well. I think it's a good thing. I mean, there's a lot, certainly a lot of jobs, it's a commodity. There's a lot of revenue there.
There's tax revenue.
Yeah. Tax revenue for sure. Take out the stigma, guys. Take out the stigma. Okay. and then the last one, this one is interesting. So this law applies to subscription services. And we have become so subscription dominant that this law, to my understanding, is a company is no longer allowed to automatically renew a subscription service or a subscription arrangement you're paying for without your consent.
Yeah.
So I guess this is going to be the end of the auto renew for subscription services like Netflix and stuff like that. Without, I mean, I'm sure you'll still auto renew, but they're going to have to send you, I guess, maybe an email saying, "Hey, your subscription is renewing. Click this button." Maybe.
Yeah. So one, I don't like government intervention like this. I want to put that out there, but I did get messed up with this once, just not too long ago, actually.
Were hooked in something that kept.
Yeah. Renewing. Like, so what happened was there was, during the lockdown when I was in California, there was one gym, which I now vehemently hate because they're the worst people ever. I think they're shysters and thieves and criminals. Is that they, this was like in July. So we were locked up. We were locked down, remember, from March, and they didn't start opening up until the end of October, especially gyms, right? Gyms were not. So I'm a gym phobic or a gym philia, a gym lover. I love going to the gym. So I was looking around anywhere, even miles away for this, and I couldn't find one. One gym said, "We're going to open up," right? It's like, what? Oh, wow, I'll do it, right? And so I talked to them and I said, "Sure, I'll sign up." And they said, "We'll only charge you if you know, we open up and we go back in." Right. So anyway, they never opened up. So they didn't do that, until, I guess December or something like that. So they actually wait. So I was able to go to the normal gym that I go to, 24 Hour Fitness in California, at the end of October. The end of October. Is that right? I guess it was more like the middle of October. Anyway, I moved to Austin and, you know, at the end of December, I get a bill for $65 from this company, ABC. And I was like, financial. And I was like, what is this? I look it up. It's this company. I think they were Lifetime Fitness. I'll have to look it up. That was the gym. And all of a sudden they opened up and then they renewed my thing, even though I didn't say anything. They never even told me. They never told me. And I said, I called them. I was like, "I moved. I've never stepped foot in your gym. You can't just charge me $65 without telling me. That's absolute garbage." And they're not giving me a refund. They refuse to. give me a refund. Well, I was like, I've never been there. Like, this is crazy. So that, like, again, I don't like the government intervention, but you know, that's just on principle. But yeah, that kind of thing, I do hate, and I do wish there was more things you could do about it. Because they never told me they were going to auto renew things, right? They never said that.
So now it's illegal.
Yeah. So they couldn't do that. Now they'd have to like say, hey, it looks like that's what that this means.
If they did and they didn't refund you, you could take them to court.
Yeah, exactly. And I think like Netflix is another one.
Yeah.
They're going to have to tell you in advance, hey, we're going to renew. I imagine they'll be able to do something like a year long thing. Like, hey, we're going to renew you for this year.
Yeah,
it's month, because I pay month to month.
It's just like whatever term you agreed to, they're just not allowed to automatically continue without letting you know.
Yeah.
Give you the option to opt out.
Yeah. And I know Netflix has been increasing their prices anyway. Like, so I got a thing
more
saying
frequently than I'm
in the past. Yeah.
Becoming comfortable with, I think it's up to like $17.99 now.
Yeah. And they lost The Office. Like, what are you doing with my money, son?
So what do you have? What do you have for me now?
Give me something. They lost The Office. They lost Friends. Yeah. They lost 30 Rock. I think they lost, what was that other one Parks and Recreation I used to watch. So like, I don't even know what kind of sitcoms
really good.
They lost that 70s show. I think was taken out.
I don't think it's on there anymore.
So like, I used to have just occasionally when I'm like doing dishes or I'd have like,
The office
on, right? Like, what do I have now? I can't find anything. I'm gonna have to actually like listen to lectures or something. I'm gonna listen to our podcast. That's what I'm listening
there
to.
You go. There you go. And then the last piece of that auto renewal is that companies or streaming services can no longer advertise that they are doing a free trial if the free trial requires you to input a credit card and it's going to be charged at the end of the free trial.
Okay. So that'll be interesting.
Apple TV, I think, or Apple Plus, whatever it's called, they always say you get a week free, but you have to put your card in first and then they charge you after that week. And you can always cancel within the week, but they call it free. And now they're not allowed to call it free anymore. So semantics, I suppose.
I bet the companies are just going to, you know, come up with some new verbiage.
That. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, because I like the free. Period. Yeah. Just call it trial period or something.
Yeah.
And get rid of drop the free.
Drop. Yeah. Probably.
Or I guess one way they can compete is say you don't have to put your credit card in, but then you know after the week it says please. I've seen that already. Existing where it's like, just try it for a week, no credit card required. And then if you like it, you know, put in your credit card, you're going to be restricted. Like, I think a lot of newspapers do that kind of thing, right? Where it's like you have 8 free, you know,
reads. I think the Wall Street Journal might do that.
You
know,
and then if you pass that, then you can pay for it if you want.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the end of this particular list that we were referencing. They had a few other things as far as healthcare, like capping the cost of insulin for diabetic patients, et cetera. That's interesting. So, you know, some movement, normal movement on the Social Security cap, and we got more states legalizing marijuana. We got some changes to streaming services. So keep all these things in mind in 2021.
Oh, Fitness 19. That's the gym. Sorry. I don't want to get the 19. Wrong. Fitness 19 in California.
I've never
boo
heard of
on
that.
You.
Boo on you, Fitness 19.
Thieves.
You owe Kirk $65.
Owe me $65. And
we're
going to
take
up.
You to see Judge Judy if you don't pay up.
I would take all Fitness 19.
Yes.
Well, you know, the other shady thing that they like did is there's Fitness 19, but all of them, and you know, it's a whole bunch of disparate, you know, franchises, I guess, they do their finances or their payment through another company called ABC Financial. And so when you call Fitness 19 and to complain, they say, oh, call this number. And then that number doesn't care. They're like, no. And then I went back to Fitness 19. They're like, well, you know, we can't do anything about it. Like, what? You know,
because we outsource that.
Yeah, we outsource that. It's like, what? Yeah. That's the worst. Yeah. I do not like that. Like 24 Hour Fitness, I've been to, you know, Gold's, 24 Hour Fitness, Anytime Fitness. I've done Lifetime Fitness. I've done all these, and I've done, you know, I've canceled with them. I've joined them up. They've given me, and they never had any problems like this. They've never messed with me. Even during the, you know, epidemic, the lockdowns, 24 hour was great. You know, they charge you when you went in and that's it. And they wouldn't charge you if you didn't go in.
Yeah.
When that happened. So Fitness 19, you need to be put out of business.
Well,
not by the government, but just by people who hate you like me.
Now, well, now their actions are illegal. So they're going to have to rethink their strategy.
Yeah.
All right, guys, that wraps up this episode of Jake of All Trades. Thank you so much for listening. And be sure to check us out on social media by searching for @Jake's2Cents. Check out the blog at jakes2cents.com. Take care. We'll see you next time.
Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network, member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor. Fixed insurance products and services offered through CES Insurance Agency. Actual performance and results will vary. These interviews do not constitute a recommendation as to the suitability of any investment for any person or persons having circumstances similar to those portrayed. Consult a financial advisor regarding your specific circumstances.